Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It was a joy to be here already. I feel like the Lord has richly blessed us with inspiration. Good to see the visitors here with us today. Malin slipped in. He knows he's not supposed to do that. But we'll let you off the hook this time. So maybe we could have a word of prayer and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, again for your loving kindness to us, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather here to worship you together. Thank you for each one coming. Thank you, Lord, also for what we have already heard, Lord. Great inspiration to my heart, Lord. Thank you for that. And Lord, I pray, God, that each one of us would just take to heart the things we hear and make application to where the needs are in our hearts and lives, Lord, that we would prosper in your kingdom. That one day, Lord, that we could hear those words, those sweet words, well done, thou faithful servant. Lord, help us, Lord, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this our day. Father, I pray, God, now that you would bless this time of preaching your word. Lord, I pray that you give me a clear mind. Your Holy Spirit, God, would just direct me that I could speak those things that glorify you, God, and that will edify your people. Lord, I pray that you would use me in that way today. Thank you, Lord, and we trust that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this morning to me was just very rich, the things that we have heard, the songs that we have sang. And I think of, in my mind, somehow it just goes along with what I wanted to share today. And today, what I wanted to share on was grace. Grace. And my title that I gave it is the flow of grace flowing, or has it stopped? Is grace flowing in your life, or has it stopped? You know, as Josh was talking about influence and the power of it and how it affects people, and he gave us that account of the young man that had a very bright future ahead of him and then got caught up in wrong influence. And Lucas was exhorting us on when we're likening our lives like a tower, and as we're building, what are we building with? What are we building on? How solid is that thing? Is it going to stand the test of time? Did we use materials that when the earth shakes, that it can sway up here and yet not fall over? Stay on that firm foundation, Jesus Christ. And you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus, it has done so many wonderful things. We sang a song this morning, song 673. I just want to pull a few thoughts out of there real quick. A beautiful song about the wonderful grace of Jesus. The wonderful grace of Jesus, it's greater than all my sin. If it's greater than all my sin, it's greater than all yours too. That's the wonderful grace of Jesus. And the wonderful grace of Jesus, it's reaching to all the lost. It's an invitation, each and every one of us. There's no one excluded. It reaches out to all the lost. This wonderful grace of Jesus, it reaches to the most defiled. It reaches to the most defiled by its transforming power, making him God's dear child. You know, that wonderful grace is extended to each one of us. And if you and I embrace that, we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus, we get born again, that wonderful grace takes us from being a defiled sinner to a wonderful child of God. Amazing. The power of grace. It gives us peace, a deliverance, a pardon. It gives us liberty, Those chains of bondage, they've been torn asunder. The wonderful grace of Jesus. And if you haven't experienced that today, I invite you to come to Jesus. Because one day, you'll either hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Sobering words. Both of them are sobering words. Just think about it. The wonderful grace of Jesus, it's extended to you today. You know, as I think of the flow of grace in our lives, I think of the picture. I don't remember who said it for sure. I was thinking Junior Troyer may have said something like this, but I don't remember who it was. But he had a picture of a rubber hose that was hooked up to a hydrant. And the hydrant was turned on, and that flow was flowing out full force. And you know, Josh was talking about being corrupted. You try to corrupt that well through the end of that hose. My well at home is set for 100 gallons a minute. And my rubber hose can't even produce 100 gallons a minute. It don't let that much through. It's too small. And so this thing's sitting there doing this number. You try to corrupt my well through that rubber hose. It's impossible. There's too much force coming out. And I liken that to the flow of grace from the Lord Jesus. That flow coming from Him to our lives. And as we continue to walk with God, to know God, to spend time with God, that flow, and walk with a church body, His redeemed people, we're there to help each other, that flow, it keeps us from getting corrupted. It keeps us from losing our way. It's pretty hard to contaminate that. But when we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus, we can be contaminated. That rubber hose, that flow, it's hard to be influenced by the world when we're abiding in Christ Jesus, as Jesus tells us to abide in Him. And it's hard to for our doctrine, sound doctrine, to be corrupted when we are drinking from that flow of grace, when it's coming through our lives. You know, in Titus here, that's where I got my thoughts come from, was in Titus chapter 2. However, Titus here, Paul is exhorting Titus in while he's here in Crete. He's exhorting him. He says, "Titus, I left you here in Crete to set in order those things that are wanting, the needs that are there. I left you there to address those needs, to take care of them, to ordain elders in every city as I appointed you." And then he gives the qualifications for an elder. And then he also talks about the Cretans there, just giving you a little backdrop on chapter 2 here. And he tells us about the Cretans. He says, "One of their own selves said, a prophet of their own said that the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies." And he says, "This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." And he says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work." And so this is a backdrop on chapter 2 here. And he says, "And to every good work they're reprobate." All those things they're doing are worthless. They're vain. They're empty. And then he goes on to say, "But this is how they should live. Teach them these things here, Titus. Teach them," and I'm going to read chapter 2. He says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So he goes on here in chapter 2 and gives exhortation and how to live life. And I was thinking of grace in here teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That we're looking for the blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So the grace of God here flowing in our lives. I was thinking of as the grace of God as it teaches us. I guess for myself, when I came to the Lord, I didn't know everything. I didn't know everything, but as I walked with him, I learned. It was teaching me. I had that flow of grace in my life to learn to walk with God. To learn how to walk with God. And there's things that he's calling us here. And in this wonderful scripture. You know, I was inspired as we look at the grace of God here in this chapter, as it came to teach us. It came to teach us. It came to bring us new life. Jesus Christ, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He says, these things, speak these things. But it came to give us new life. You know, if we're born again by the Spirit of God, it should show out of the flow of our lives that there's grace in our lives. We should live soberly. We should live righteously and godly. It's a call for us in how to live. You know, one writer put it this way. He says, living soberly. He says, to live soberly towards ourselves, meaning that we are honest, we evaluate ourselves, and we don't just overlook where we're really at. Like Lucas was sharing about taking evaluation and how we're building that tower. Build soberly. Consider it. Really, where am I? Where am I going? How is it working out with the vision that I have? And he says to live righteously. He says to live righteously. Referring to living, that was more of an outward thing of towards one another, interacting with people, living right. And then he says, and to live godly. And he says, in more of an aspect of having a pure heart of worship, to desire to be like the Lord. And so I appreciate those thoughts of living soberly, righteously, and godly. You know, the grace of God The grace of God in our lives, as it's poured into our lives from the Lord Jesus, it produces something. It's not a stagnant pour that he does. It doesn't just, you don't just get it and fill up and it don't ever run out. It's not that type of thing. But it's a fresh walking with the Lord. The grace of God produces the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in Galatians 5, 22 through 26, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. The grace of God creates a sober, righteous, and godly life. I was thinking here of, as we just looked at this portion of scriptures here in Titus chapter 2, his exhortation to the aged men to be sober, to be grave, to be temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. You know, we can look at that and we can evaluate our own lives. We can evaluate our own lives. How does that fit with my life? Do I live soberly? Do I take an honest inventory of my own life? Do I live a temperate life? Am I temperate in the way I live? Or is just anything goes, anything I want, whatever feels good? Or do I have a temperance about me? A self-control. Sound in faith. Am I sound in faith? In charity. How is my life when I interact with others? Is it charitable? Or do I draw a hard line? No mercy. Or am I gracious? How is that? Just evaluate, soberly evaluate your life. In patience. Am I patient with people? Am I patient with my family? Am I patient with my co-workers? Church family, or do I demand now? I want to see this change now. How does that look in my life? As I soberly evaluate my life. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That's a high calling there too. Your behavior as it becomes holiness. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I think of not false accusers. It seems like gossip can happen with any gender and any sort. But it seems like amongst the ladies, it seems like it happens maybe a little easier sometimes. And I don't know why that is, but it just seems that it tends to happen that way. Easier maybe. But when we are not falsely accusing people, I was thinking of the word gossip to throw right along in there. Having our speech that it's godliness, that it's upbuilding, not tearing people down. How is that in my life? Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. You know, this is talking to aged women. Are you teaching the younger ones good things? Good things, just valuable things in life. The way to live. The way to raise a godly family. Are you teaching the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children? Are you teaching them to be discreet and chaste? Keepers at home. You know, it seems like in society, and maybe even in our community, there is a greater pull for ladies to not be content and keepers at home. But rather, they want to go out there, they want to get a good job. Or it seems like as of the last number of years, there is more time spent on the phone, whether it's talking to everybody else or the internet or something, communicating to where they're not being keepers at home. They're just content in their own little world. Things don't actually get done at home. And Lord, help us to honestly evaluate our own lives, that these things be not so. But aged women, you're to teach the young women these things. And you're to teach them because it says that they, here it says that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's a high calling. And it says, young men, likewise exhort. Exhort the young men to be sober-minded. You know, sometimes young men have the biggest visions and dreams, maybe you could say. And that's good. I don't want to discourage visions and dreams. But when I think of living soberly, you need to honestly evaluate them. Honestly evaluate them. I think Lucas or Josh, someone shared about the direction that you're on, and then consider where that thing leads. Because we have history, we have knowledge of where all these things go. And so with your dreams and your visions, consider the end of them. Where do they lead you? And soberly consider them. Just be honest about where you're wanting to go. Be sober-minded. And another aspect of being sober-minded is opposite of also being foolish. And that's, you know, and especially in young men, we have a lot of energy and we want to have fun, and it can pretty soon get carried away with foolishness. Be sober. Guard against that. Guard against foolishness. Be sober-minded. Let the grace of God flow in your life. You know, sometimes, I know in times past when God would speak to me and I would do something, maybe say something, maybe something wasn't kind or whatever, and my heart would be pricked. You know, like, oh, now I got to go tell him sorry. I changed my mindset. I thank the Lord for that, because that's the grace of God flowing into my life. When you feel that, that was kind of foolish, probably shouldn't do that. Yes, Lord. That's the grace of God. And it's an awesome thing. It's walking with God, letting Him speak to us. Let the grace of God flow. Let Him teach you. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. A high calling here. And this is talking to young men, and I'm probably in your class. I don't feel old yet. But to live a life that people can pattern after your life, we can follow that. We can follow that. Think about that. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. You know, sincerity. Be sincere about the things that you do in life. Don't make light of the kingdom. Don't make light of the things that you're doing, standing for, your parents stand for. Be sincere. Have a sincerity about you. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Guard your speech. Set a watch, O Lord, over my lips, over my mouth, that you can be a testimony for the glory of God. You know, that grace, when it's flowing down, it'll teach you, it'll help you, it'll empower you in all these areas in life that we have need in. And then he tells us here, exhort servants to be obedient. And I had to think of just taking servants there. Instead of looking at it as servants in your home, I was thinking more so at a workplace. I was thinking more of employees. Exhort employees to serve their masters well, to serve their employers well, to please them well in all things, not answering again. You know, we don't have servants how they had back in the day. We can relate to it with employees and employers. You know, when you have a job to do, do it with your whole heart. Do it with your whole heart. Pour your heart into pleasing your boss. You'll be a blessed person. You'll be a blessed individual. Not purloining. You know, don't drag things out. Don't complain. But with just a solid conviction, persuasion, go serve. Do your job with your whole heart as you're doing it unto the Lord. Sometimes I think we live a little bit in a soft time that, that sometimes our young men may need to learn how to just give it their all when you're working. Pour your heart into it. Don't be somebody lazy, but if someone's paying you to do a job, do it well. For the grace of God, actually it says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Putting hard effort into your job and doing it in a godly fashion, a Christ-like attitude, it adorns. It shines forth for the glory of God. And so don't take it as a light thing. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. It teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly. You know, if we're not going to live that way, then what's left? What other way will we live? But we will live for the flesh. You know, as I think of the grace of God being poured in our lives, I think of the Spirit of God dwelling in us and guiding us, leading us into all truth. And if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't do that. But if we're going to walk in the flesh, in Galatians 5, it gives us a list of those things. If we're going to walk contrary to what Titus is teaching, what Paul tells Titus to teach here, we're going to fulfill the works of the flesh. It's in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. It says, and the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which are doing these things, there is no flow of grace coming into their life. They're resisting it. They're resisting it. And you know, let's honestly evaluate our hearts. There's things here that are fleshly that can be part of our lives. Murderers. He that hateth his brother is like a murderer. That can hit home. Strife, causing strife, that can hit home pretty quick. Strife also, if you look up strife, it means factions, little cliques, having little cliques. It says that's a work of the flesh. Being envious, idolatry. It says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. It's got witchcraft listed here. All uncleanness. We can look at all the words there, but some of these can come right back to home here. When I think of all uncleanness, adultery, fornication, and uncleanness, that all has a picture of an immoral life. Jesus says, if you look and you lust, you've already committed. It's the same thing. These things can become home right here in our own hearts and lives, and that's a work of the flesh. That's not a flow of grace. And so I want to encourage us to honestly evaluate our hearts, because we need that flow of grace in our hearts and lives to prosper. That flow of grace, it will take care of us living in the flesh, because it produces a humility in our hearts and lives. Paul, he says this. He says, I was, and he gave all his credentials. You know, I went to this school. This is my lineage. I was a Jew. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he lists them all, and he came out to the top. He did. But you know, that flow of grace produces a humility, because Paul saw that with all that, he was lost. He saw he was lost. He wasn't going to make it. He says, I came to a place where I count it loss. I count it, he says, but dung, actually, manure. In comparison to what Jesus Christ has done for me, it fades. It doesn't stand. I can't lean on any of it. It produces humility, that grace of God flowing in our lives. It will take care of us of having the problem of living in the flesh, because as it produces, as we see God for who He is, you know, as it says here, that it teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, and teaches how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's more. It puts a longing, a looking forward to that hope, the return of the Lord Jesus. You know, when that comes into our hearts and lives, these earthly things start to vanish and become more pale. They start not to have such an appeal to us. The cool spirit, the critical spirit, the immodest, immoral spirit, the treacherous business dealings, the questionable things we do at work, the questionable things that we do in secret, whether it's our phones or whatever they are we do, the grace of God flowing does away with those things. Because when the grace of God is flowing, God puts His finger there and says, I want you to change that. That's not right. That's not the kingdom way. You need to change that. That's the grace of God flowing in our lives. Praise God. We need to come to a place where we see God as, and we see Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that we allow Him to redeem us. The grace of God flowing. You know, the grace of God, as it flows into our life, it gives us the ability to look at individuals as potential. As potential, and not as a lost cause. The grace of God will do that for us. The grace of God will focus on living an obedient life to the Lord Jesus. But it, you know, one thing that we can get confused sometimes easily enough is when we focus on our external. We just focus on external, and that's our main goal. We end up performance-based. But if we focus on living personally with the Lord Jesus, seeing our need, we'll walk in the Spirit. We won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's the life we'll live. We won't walk that way. When we do fail, we can find that same grace to help us find strength to stand again. That grace of God will help us put value on what God puts value on. You know, sometimes we can get discouraged in life. We can put less value on the things that God puts value on. Take the church body, for instance. We can put less value on that. But God puts high value on it. He redeemed it. It's His. We should put high value on the church body. Each other. Jesus says, after all, He says, you can tell, you can say you love me, but if you don't love your brother, then you don't love me. That's just as simple as that. And so there needs to be that love for the people of God. And as we grow in maturity, we learn how to walk in brotherly kindness, honor one another, exhorting one another, encouraging one another. And you know, if our life is producing something else, if it's producing something else than what Titus was exhorted here to teach, if it's producing something else than the fruit of the Spirit, and and if it's producing the fruit of the works of the flesh, then we need to stop and look at our lives and see where we're really going. Really, where are we going? Because the grace of God will lead us in all truth. It won't lead us into the way of the flesh. And also, consider that flow of grace in your life. If something is contaminating it, then think about the grace of God. The flow has stopped. It stopped because we're taking a different direction here. But look at the grace of God and feed on the grace of God. Feed on the love of God. Abide in Him. And fill yourselves with Him. Because what we feed on is what we become. You know, and also goes on in Timothy. And it talks about, we have had a list of things that should be part of our lives. But also in Timothy, it talks about the apostasy that's coming. And he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men, they're going to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of that which is, of those things that are good. They're going to be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." He says, from such, turn away. And so, those things are outside the flow of grace. Those things are outside walking in the Spirit of God. When we think, we're exhorted in, I can't think what scripture it is, but it tells us to not think more highly of ourselves than what we ought. Don't be high-minded. Don't think more of yourself than what you should. And you know, all these things, he says, there's a people that have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power. They're denying that flow of grace in their lives to actually live it in reality. And so they have an outward life. They have a, what you see outwardly looks good. Looks good, looks right. But there's no power to live that holy life. And so he has given a warning here. He says, from such, turn away. They're denying the power thereof. God wants to clean the inside of the cup. But when the inside of that cup is cleaned, the outside gets cleaned too. But he starts in here. He starts in here. And he's not discouraging having a form of godliness. But he wants us to have a form of godliness with power. He wants us to have life with it all. Let's not live after the flesh. The grace of God empowers us to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Romans 8 tells us to walk in the Spirit and to live in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, if the grace of God is flowing, we're walking after the Spirit of God, there's no condemnation for us. There's no condemnation there. But if we're walking after the flesh, then rightfully so. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. He goes on to tell us that if we don't want to be debtors to the flesh and live after. We want to live after the For if we live after the flesh, you will die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so let's continue to be led by the Spirit of God. Let's continue to let the grace flow in our lives and to teach us and to walk in humility together before a holy God. As we consider the grace of God, just consider, what does God really want to do in our hearts and lives? God, He wants us to live a holy life. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. God wants us, He wants our lives to be set apart for Him so He can shine through us, so He can use us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I was thinking of, you know, that grace of God flowing in our lives and how important it is to have that continue. That's why we're called to walk in the newness of life. It's a way we travel, to walk in the Spirit. It's a direction we're going. And I was, I don't know if it was, I think it might have been Wednesday evening. No, I don't know when it was. I was talking to Brother Joash about this verse here about renewing our mind. And it struck a chord in my mind that, you know, as you look at renewing, the ing back there means a continuation. And it's important to us to keep that grace of God flowing. It's important to stay connected. It's important to walk with Him in humility and learn of Him. Spend time with Him in prayer and meditation and in reading God's Word. This way we can know what His heart is. It's what we need to stay alive. It's important to have that attitude and that life, a renewing of our minds, a continuing to renew our minds, because what is the direction that our mind goes when it's left alone? When you're without vision, when you're just idly spending time, just not anything goes. Well, your mind always gravitates to the flesh. It always gravitates to the flesh. That's our carnal nature. And that's why it's so important to continue to renew ourselves, renewing the mind, spending time in the Word of God, because in it, it's life. There's life there. And it's very important for us to do that, because we can find ourselves discouraged in many challenges and aspects of life. And the discouraging thoughts that come, they're usually not going on with the Lord. It's usually like, I don't know about this anymore. I don't know about this anymore. It's usually a giving up that comes. But as we continue to walk with the Lord, to seek God, and continue to renew our mind, refresh our mind in Him, it strengthens us. That grace can continue to flow. We can continue to find strength and continue to not allow ourselves to be contaminated by the lack of flow. So, is the grace of God flowing in your life? Or are we living carnally? Are we living in the Spirit? Are we walking in the flesh? Paul, it seems like over and over and over again, he gives a call to walking in truth and in righteousness and holiness. He also, I was thinking of a lot of things that Paul calls out in the Scriptures. And there's things of from rebellion to witchcraft to it seems like immoral things are always being called out. It seems like hardly you can go to any passage and not find it called out. Jesus calls it out. It's important that we put a high emphasis on where are we going, what is our vision, because the things that we embrace in life will affect where we're going. They will affect us in a deep way. And so, in Timothy, he's exhorted here, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. In conversation is your lifestyle, the way you're living, your life conduct. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in being charitable, in walking in the Spirit, in faith, in purity. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then he says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And just the call to continue in truth, continue in walking and allowing the grace of God to lead us. Be honest where we're at. You know, if you find yourself in need, we have this tendency as a people, we have this tendency to label our sin as not so big and kind of really big. This is tendencies we have. And when we do that, we lack honesty. We lack honesty. We can't just say, Lord, I have sinned. Whether it's a wrong attitude towards a brother, it's the same thing as murder, you know? We have a tendency of just downplaying it, and then we don't own it. And we can't go past it. Walk in the Spirit. Be honest. Be honest. Be sober about where you are. Because focusing on how big your sin really was doesn't bring life. If we're honest about what it was and we deal with it through Jesus Christ, then that brings life. We call out to the Lord for help. The grace of God produces power in our lives to fulfill the calling of the Lord in our lives. And so I want to encourage us to consider in our lives, what is our vision? Is the grace of God flowing in our lives? Or is there something stopping it? Is there a stop? Or is it flowing? You ask yourself that question and you answer it, because it's going to benefit you. It'll have an effect on the end where we hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or we hear these words, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The grace of God needs to flow, brothers and sisters. It needs to flow. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. God bless you.